Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. Jordan Palmer didn't make the impact his brother Carson did as a player, but find out how Jordan's making a big impact now in several exciting different ways. Stick around and find out what I'm talking about. Team Snap is the presenting sponsor of the Winning Is Not Everything podcast. The spring sports season is just around the corner. Are you ready? Whether you're a coach running your team with the Team Snap app, an admin using Team Snap for business to manage your club or league, or a marketer looking to make noise in the youth sports space, Team Snap has got you covered. Visit teamsnap.com or download the Team Snap app from your app store for more information. When you talk to Jordan Palmer, it's easy to see why he's thriving in so many different ways. He's a man of passion, and he's got a lot of them. In the superstar-in-the-making quarterbacks he works with through his Quarterback Summit, or his multiple business interests that aim to revolutionize nutrition for young athletes and protecting their precious heads. In part three, Jordan's going to share with us his insights on the above topics and more, including his advice for young athletes and their parents. What are we waiting for? Let's get to it. Because of all the success you've had with so many young athletes and young quarterbacks, I'm sure you get this a lot. What are some of those most common questions that parents are asking you about developing kids?
Yeah, you know, I get questions a lot. Elbow hurts. What causes that? Our coaches know what he's talking about. How do we deal with it? So there's a lot of those common ones. How do we get recruited better? But I think the most profound one, to where I've actually really shifted my focus for the last year and a half and for the next few years, is nutrition. I got a lot of questions around nutrition and I just didn't have great answers. I'm married to the healthiest person that I know. We have a garden. We eat out of our garden. My kids really haven't been exposed to sugar. You know, everyone was tripping out of Halloween this year because my 8-year-old got his candy, put it in piles, and then said, okay, you can have these ones, you can have these ones. He just didn't even take the candy home with him. He's not going to eat it anyways. And it's not because he's going to get in trouble. He'll tell you, he goes, I just know too much about what it does. So we have a very healthy home, but I hadn't been making all those decisions, right? My wife has. And so I didn't actually know as much, right? And so she'd say, here, take this. This is great. Or let's eat this. Or this is the kind of new kind of pasta. So I ended up just paying more attention and learning. And then I went online. And what I came to the conclusion of is there's not a single, I don't think anybody knows, because when I'm at a camp, I might be dealing with a wealthy family who's doing everything in their power to make the house healthy and the kids, put all their kids in a position to succeed. I deal with a lot of those parents. But that doesn't mean that they understand nutrition. And I just realized it's a huge miss and it's overwhelming and it's time consuming to eat healthy. And again, definitions, we all have different definitions of that, right? And then I had my own personal health journey where I found out I was really close to being pre-diabetic. And I'm like, how is that? I eat way healthier than everybody else. Well, until I got a real, food allergy test and really understood that I can't have tomatoes, I can't have avocados, I can't have spinach. These things that we would say are healthy, right? You say, oh, those are healthy, those are vegetables. I don't know, my body can't have them. And other things, potatoes. And so I went on my own journey to better understand that. And so I'm launching a company called Thread Performance. And we're raising money right now, we're closing out our round. But we partnered with the folks that own Ancient Nutrition, which is a $1 billion nutrition company. And before that, it was Garden of Life, which sold for $1.2 billion. And their partner, their company, the sub-company that they own, Beyond Organics Technology, is designing and formulating all of our products. And another company, Simplified Solutions, building the products and the packaging. But what it is we're going, all right, this has to be easy. We have to educate parents and kids. And so we have three products. We have one called the Super Meal, and it's an individual sachet. So you get a big box with a month's worth, and it's an individual sachet, throw it in the backpack. As long as the kid shakes that up in water and drinks that today, you're good. This is all of the greens that you need, the very specific vitamins that you need. And it's built on a collagen and whey chassis because kids going through puberty need a lot of collagen. They have breakdown their fascia. You need to support ligament and tendon strength. Non-contact injuries, soft tissue injuries, are through the roof because the training's evolved and how hard kids work's evolved, but the nutrition hasn't evolved. And so there's not a single company out there that's positioned for all-in athlete families that have kids going through puberty. And so we've got three products. We've got that. We've got an energy capsule, which is not, sugar. It's not caffeine. it helps oxygenate your muscles. So that's more sustained long-term energy. And then we've got a protein, a proprietary blend of protein to really help with muscle density. And so we look at that, but we're also doing studies and looking at products down the road. Well, one thing that we've done early studies on, and we're having some other done, but it's been fascinating, females, how consistently they have non-contact, really ACLs mm-hmm. on their cycle, and how their body is losing certain things at that time, and their body, they're not replenishing it, and the susceptibility to ligament tears. So we're looking at well, there's something no one's ever talked about. And it's very simple to see what somebody loses and replace it. That's the definition of supplement. Mm. So there's a lot of different places we can go with this, but we're starting with a super meal. And the biggest piece is going to be education. Like, we're going to make it really digestible through social media to better understand simple things you can do. Because if you're going to go to training 5 days a week and private coaching and get a lift in and get in bed, the company's called Thread, because this is that thread you're missing. You're doing all the other stuff. You're just missing that thread. And so we feel like we've got a really interesting, we've got 15 products in the roadmap of things that we can do and build towards to really impact the all-in athlete family. And also, this is not stuff that's specific to kids. I mean, I take this stuff, you can take this stuff, it's great. But there's just been a big miss in the space. And we just market Body Armor and Gatorade and all these things that are just a ton of sugar and terrible for you.
Yeah, Jordan, that sounds really interesting. And I definitely want to learn more about that as you guys release that. Now, I know there's another space that you're also passionate about, and that's technology with the work that you're doing with Light Helmet. I understand the concept behind it, taking the advancements in military technology as it relates to helmets and bringing it over for sports, like obviously football. But tell me about what makes you aligned and wanting to be a part of, you know, what Light Helmet is trying to do.
Well, I care about these kids. I care about helmet safety. I do not believe concussions are ever going to go away. There is some misconceptions out there in the concussions. For example, there's more concussions in girls soccer at the high school level than there is boys football at the high school level. And it's actually not close. So that's a part of playing contact sports. Even if you don't think soccer is a contact sport, there's situations where you end up, I mean, they make you wear mouthpieces and flag football in kindergarten. Why? These kids are out of control. They run into each other. But removing the weight, when I first got exposure to Light Helmets, just made a ton of sense to me, particularly at young ages when their bodies aren't developed, their necks aren't strong, their chest cavity, their scapula, their core, none of those things are developed. And so 2 or 3 pounds at the end of the line for you up top can make a big difference. And then with the research they were able to put in, again, coming from auto racing, coming from military, I was just fascinated by it. And I thought it was a worthy cause. And the helmet industry has been ripe for innovation. I mean, Shutt and Riddell have been around forever. When they do come out with a helmet, I just feel like it's the same test. It just looks a little different. So it's all kind of cosmetic. And this is common. You know, I see companies like Nike where their number one selling SKU is also like the one that's actually not good for your foot. And so it's just whatever, it's a marketing company. And that's fine for running shoes or if you're just going to walk around, because that's fine. You're not jeopardizing really anything big picture, but helmet safety you are. And all you need is one bad one. And, you know, I got a kid, JT Daniels, I've been working with since he was in sixth grade, you know, 4-year starter in college, just had a great career. And he just retired the other day, 24. We were getting ready for the NFL draft and he ended up retiring from a concussion. And so not saying Light Helmet would have prevented it, but I think particularly at a young age, removing half the weight, almost half the weight, and let alone the force that when he goes head and whips, the whiplash effect, the getting tackled, it's not just getting smoked in the side of the head, it's getting tackled and your head hitting the ground, which was some of the concussions that I had was head to the ground. And so those are all ways that you can make a positive impact on that. And so I've kind of aligned with Light to be able to help parents understand that and at least just ask the right questions.
Jordan, you got 3 boys. As you mentioned, you have obviously a long history and your family, a long history in football. It's a real popular question. I'm sure that you get asked a lot, but at what age do you allow your boys to play tackle football?
I don't know yet.
That's fair.
I don't think that they need to play in third grade, fourth grade. I started playing in third grade. I don't know that they need to do that as much as they need to play other sports. And I really feel like it's helpful to have 1 or 2 years before high school to get hit and to hit people and to figure out if I care about getting hit, right? And we sort through those things and throw with the pads on and get used to the helmet and all that stuff. But I have a feeling the way that we're going right now, my boys are going to have a lot of interests. So if one or All three of them just moved to all in on football. And that's the natural next progression. And there's a good team and there's a good setup and there's a good system for the coaching that I would entertain it as early as a couple years from now. But I just, as a dad, am not chomping at the bit to get my kid in tackle. I don't think it's bad. I'm just personally not doing that. And I still want him to get some golf. I still want him to get tennis going. And right now, we don't practice throwing in the driveway. For a kid, if you have a young athlete, boy or girl, even if you have like a daughter who plays volleyball and she wants to spike it, she wants to be an outside hitter, should really just be throwing tennis balls. Should be playing catch with tennis balls. Learn your stroke. And then you should graduate up to a little heavier ball, to a lacrosse ball. And then maybe a baseball. And then start doing that. And so when we go play, I got one of those bounce back nets from Skills for $100 or whatever. And I'll have two or three different types of balls out there. And we're just throwing it at that thing, learning how to catch. Oh, you tipped that one to yourself. Nice job, bud. So I think I'm more interested in just rounding out and developing their overall athleticism and getting them excited about, I wasn't good at this. I practiced it. Now I'm good at it. And I like the way that makes me feel. But we can repeat that process. Yep.
You mentioned that you're coaching one of your brother's kids. What age is he, and sort of what's Carson's perspective? I mean, Carson had a lot of injuries during the course of his career, obviously. Incredible career, but it came at a big cost, right? Lots of serious injuries. What's his sort of perspective on you coaching his son and tackle football?
Well, my oldest brother, my nephew there, Jonathan, just lost on fourth down in the state championship game in Tennessee last Friday. So I've been working with him for a long time. Carson's boy is in eighth grade, going to be a freshman next year. Been coming to my Summit tours for a long time because we didn't live by each other. And then his seven-year-old is on our little flag team, first exposure to a team sport. And so I think my brother, he's always playing catch and always offering great insight, and what nobody better to do that. When it comes to coaching and training and developing, like a lot of NFL, or I wouldn't even say NFL, former NFL players, I work with a lot of current and former NFL players' kids. I work with NFL coaches' kids, and it's not because I know more than them. It's because you want them to hear it from somebody else and you want to outsource it. And so if my boys get really serious about quarterback, my guy Mike, who works with me, like, he's going to spend the majority of the time with them. And then depending on if Kyle Allen's still playing, like, I want Kyle to work with them. Right. And so I want to, even with my boys, they can jump in on stuff that I'm doing with a group. But when it comes to let's go to do three sessions this week for an hour, I want somebody else leading that with those boys. So it's been great working with them. And, you know, you just care more when it's your kid or your nephew. I care a lot about all my clients, but it's different. And it's so cool to be able to help shape who they are because I really care about them and I really care about their parents. Yeah, it's been a blast. He's been amazing. But they played eighth grade, you know, tackle football this year. He coached on the team, but he was the O-line coach. His son was a quarterback and linebacker, but my brother was the O-line coach, just helping out.
Love it. Last two questions for you, Jordan. You've been outstanding. What's one message you have for youth sports parents today?
The goal is not to get a scholarship. That could become the byproduct. Excellence in the classroom, in the field, and a lot of passion by the athlete and a series of good decisions and a good fortune, right? Not getting hurt. That point was really close to getting hurt, or that kid was going to transfer in and they're a superstar, but they ended up going to another school. So it's also good fortune. But the goal should not be scholarship, because if you just look at the numbers, then you're kind of setting your kid up to be a failure, because statistically speaking, very small portions get scholarships. I don't care what the sport is. The goal of youth sports is to develop work ethic, accountability, winning, how to work with a team, how to work for a coaching staff, how to lead. That's the goal. The byproduct might end up being a scholarship. But if the kid sees and feels that pressure enough, I have seen a lot of parents who want it so bad and do so much for their kids to put them in a position to get a scholarship that by the time it really comes to that, the kid just kind of resents them and is over it. And I have seen that time and time again with kids where I would have said at that age, this kid's definitely going D1. Really good player at this age.
Yeah.
So burnout, churn, those things. So the goal can't be that. It might be your internal goal, right? Whether you need them to get a scholarship for financial reasons, or you just want your kid, or you have a massive ego and it's really important that your kid goes to an SEC school. Whatever the reasons are, it can't be the stated goal. They can work towards it, but it can't be the point of why you're doing it.
Love it. Last question for you. What's one message you try to instill in kids who look up to you?
How you live your life off the field, off the court, whatever your sport is, directly mirrors the way you play the game on it. So So let's just say quarterbacks. If you are all over the place in your personal life, your room's always a mess, you're procrastinating on homework, last possible second, barely get by, parents say put this away, and you got to be reminded 10 times to put that thing away. I have not seen that lifestyle translate into once you go on the field, you're completely accountable, you know all the things you're supposed to do, you're locked in, you're in the moment, and you're an amazing player. You might be really talented, but I have not seen that. And when I've seen some kid who's off the field, a great student, super accountable, does the right thing, makes great choices, when they make a wrong choice, they own it, they apologize, and they move forward. I have not seen those players go on the field, go on the court, and then just wing it and just be all over the place, be out of control, run the wrong play, get pissed off that the coach said that. I haven't seen that. So the way you live your life off the field, it directly impacts the way you play the game on the field or on the court, because you can't just go, well, if I want to go D1, I've got to get good grades. So I'm going to jack around in all these things, but I got good enough grades. It's like, that doesn't translate. So I tell quarterbacks, be a quarterback in 365 days a year in every phase of your life. Be a quarterback in the locker room when guys are talking about stuff they shouldn't talk about. Be a quarterback to the high school kids. Be a quarterback with girls. Be a quarterback on social media. Be a quarterback with that kid at school who's been getting bullied, whose life could totally change if the quarterback was friends with that person. Mine was Donovan from high school. Severely handicapped kid, we're still friends. So be a quarterback in every single phase. If the teacher says, does anybody have the answer? If you got the answer, be a quarterback. But I say the same thing if you're a midfielder in girls soccer, if you're outside hitter, if you're shortstop in softball or baseball, it's the same thing. Be that in everything, because those are reps. Those strengthen that. Doing the right thing over and over time gets you more consistent at being able to be comfortable and confident in making the right decision. And maybe that's to not do something with your friends because you know it's the wrong thing. Or maybe that's to hit the check down on 3rd and 2 because you're going to get the first down and win the state championship.
Well, Jordan, I had an absolute blast talking to you. Thank you so much for all your great stories and all your great insights. And all the best with all your exciting endeavors for 2024.
Really appreciate you having me. And yeah, excited to see this and check out more of your stuff. And you guys can follow me on Instagram at Jordan Palmer, on TikTok at Jordan Palmer, or YouTube at Jordan Palmer.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Winning Is Not Everything. Please make sure to like the podcast and subscribe to the podcast so you can immediately get the latest episode. If you have any questions or comments, please visit my website, seankjensen.com, and go to the contact page. You can even leave me a voice recording. And of course, I want to thank my presenting sponsor, TeamSnap. Whether you're a coach, administrator, or brand looking to reach the youth sports community, TeamSnap connects the world of youth sports. Visit TeamSnap.com or download the TeamSnap app from your app store. Until next time, I'm Sean Jensen.